Mr. Cochran, reel two.
We're talking about your time at HMS Ganges at Shotley from roughly July 39 on. We're talking about the rules of the road, and yes. you were saying some more of them.
Yeah. If in danger or in doubt, always keep a good lookout. And if in danger, no room to turn, ease her, stop her, go astern. Well, what that means, you ease the ship down, then you stop her, and to bring her to a stop properly, go astern with both engines. That brings the ship to a stop. You see, that's what they used to learn you.
And any other seamanship.
A close hauled ship you'll never see give way to one who's running three. So what that means is, if you've got a ship under steam, she'd give way to like a yacht, because the yacht can't, where the steamship can, she's running free.
And what about other seamanship classes, other than rules of the road? What else would you learn?
You'd learn the swing and the lead, as I've already said.
Said that, yeah. What about any gunnery,
As a seaman boy and that, you don't land fighting.
Rifle drill, rifle shooting.
You don't rifle shooting and bayonets, etc.
Tell me about that then. How did they teach you to shoot the rifle? That'd be the 303, would it?
Yeah, the 303, yeah. Well, it was. They used to teach you to keep it well into your shoulder and to look through the V sight and get that at the end, in the middle of your V, and not pull the trigger, just gently squeeze it, you see. That's what they used to tell you. And we used to do that and land fight, bayonet fighting.
What was a bayonet training?
That was very good, that. You know, they'd have dummies, and then they'd have trenches, and you'd jump down and in a trench, right? But they used to teach you to put your foot on it and pull it out, you know. And when you're done revolver firing, it's different than you see now. You see them holding the revolver with two hands. But we weren't taught that way. The way we were taught was, I was left-handed, so I'd look left side onto it. I'd have the revolver in my right hand, in my left hand, and you'd bring it down and fire it. But now I notice nowadays they seem to grab hold with both hands. The reason we brought it down, they reckon when you fire, they used to jump up. That was the reason. And we also done hand grenades. They'd have the pin in, and they used to tell you, when you pull the pin out, get it right back on your head and bring it right over and throw it.
Like bowling the cricket ball?
Like overhand with the cricket ball, yeah. Yeah.
Any other weapons, or was that it? What about PT, physical training? Tell us about that.
Yes. Well, you used to go, you'd be in a gymnasium, and they'd say, you'd be loosening up and everything. And then they'd say, onto the wall bars, go, and you'd have to run and jump up the wall bars. And what used to get me was over the horse, the vaulting horse, because it wasn't that very big, and you know, they used to give you a bit of a lift, right over. I was always scared of that, the vaulting. I was. As I say, the big lads were good, aren't they? They have a mat the other side, you jump over it. But I like PT and that, but I wasn't too happy with the vaulting horse. But up the ball bars were all right, you'd run and go up them, you know.
Did you have route marches and that kind of thing, or cross-country runs?
You'd have cross-country runs, yes, and route marches. A bit.
Were you fit enough, or did you feel it made you fitter?
It made you fitter, definitely. Oh, there's no doubt about it. You also got sunburns, because my mother noticed that on my first leave.
And so you'd be doing these training sessions all day, basically?
Yes.
And in the evening, what would you do?
You just relax. Sometimes you do classes, education. You know,
Tell me about that. What, this is sort of normal education?
Yes. I learned to read a bit better there and that, and I was better on my geography and that, and my English. You know, I learned a lot there.
So it's good?
Yeah, it was good. Oh, there's no doubt about it. I've never knocked a Navy. Never.
And what about in your own time of the evening? Was there a canteen you could go to?
There was a bit of a canteen, yes.
What was it like?
You could go and get a soft drink there and...
It wasn't a wet one then?
You weren't allowed to smoke, neither of you boys, you know. Mind you, I don't smoke myself, never.
Were there games and things in the canteen, you know, things like pool or billiards or darts, piano?
There's a piano there, yes. He's a play a piano and the lads did and have a little sing-song, you know.
Were you allowed out at all?
Used to, so often you go into Ipswich in a bus. Always had an instructor with you. And
what would you do in Ipswich?
Well, you didn't have much money because you just walk around and perhaps get a cup of tea or might go in a cinema, you know. Yes, that's a, you know.
Now, how did you get on with the other recruits, the other lads?
Well, we got on very well. We all mixed well.
Were they all from the same sort of background as yourself, would you say, or different, or what?
Well, each part of the country is different. A lot of lads you get some orphanage lads as well, you know, from orphanage. Like Joe Byram, who was on the Renown with me, him and his brother. They were from Manchester. They were both, the mother couldn't keep them, so they put them in an orphanage. And they went from, when their father died, they went from the orphanage went to the Navy. The Navy got a lot of boys in that way, from orphanages. Yeah.
And there was no bullying as far as you were concerned?
No. You might get one or two of fancy the chances, you know, but...
How would they be dealt with? I mean, would they be dealt with by the petty officers or the leaders?
Or
would they be dealt both by the boys? I mean, when you recruit them to...
Yeah. Oh, if one started picking on, the lads would have a go at him. He wouldn't get away with it, you know.
Now, what about the leading seamen? Well, the instructors. What were the instructors like?
Very disciplined. They made sure you told the line. But at the same time, as I said, they were fair. They were very fair. You learnt a lot of them. They'd always explain everything to you.
Do you think they really knew the stuff?
They knew the stuff. There's no doubt about it. And as I say, they wouldn't ask you to do anything they hadn't done. And they'd always go out the way to help you, really. You could always go and ask them. If you weren't sure of how you tied a certain knot or why, they'd explain it to you.
Are they shouting and swearing, or...?
Now and again, you get one of them, he'd lose his rag, you know, and, but by and large, I think it was all right.
What about officers? Any sign of them, or were they away?
Well, you'd always see your divisional officer. He was always made himself known to you and everything. And he used to say, if you have any queries or come to me, like
Would anyone ever actually dare do that, though?
Well, I'll just give you an instance now. We were writing an, we had to write an, a competition. So I wrote all about how I had to do the shopping for my mother when they're not being able to. And I used to know the price of everything, and I wrote it down. And he sent for me and he said, "You've had an hard life." And because my mother was a widow, he got a seven shilling a week extra in the allotment money.
So this was real? I mean, he was looking after you? Well,
yeah.
Now, anything else about your time then? Were you doing your basic training when the war broke out then? Were you at Shotley when the war broke out?
And then we joined me now and afterwards, yeah.
So what do you remember of... The joke used to be the day war broke out. But what do you remember about the day war broke out? That's the 3rd of September.
Yeah.
Britain, it was.
Yeah. I just remember it.
Did you hear it?
Yeah. I had the speech and everything, you know. And
what did you think?
Well, at first you're scared, really, because you don't know what's going to happen to your family as well, because... We knew it was going to be a different war because we'd heard all about Hitler's bombing of the countries he'd invaded, you see. And coming from a place like Liverpool, you knew there was a big shipping, loads of ships, and you knew that if the planes could have the range to come over, you knew they'd have a go at Liverpool. So your worry was for your family as well. And to be honest with you, I used to send me prayers every night for my family.
What about for yourself? Because you were in the armed forces. Were you worried for your own future? Or
I was worried, yeah, for myself as well, yeah, definitely. But the same time, I worried about my family, you know.
It sounds like the family was more worried than that, to be honest. Now, how long was it before you were sent to the Renown?
She commissioned in the August, as the war broke out in the September. And we joined her...
roughly?
Say a couple of months afterwards.
So, October-ish?
Yeah.
Now, when the war started, what about... How did your training go on at Shotley then? I mean... It just carried on, did it?
It carried on, but after a while he closed it down for the boys, and the boys were going to the Isle of Man to train, and this was just for hostility only. Reasons went to Shotley after that.
So what happened to you?
As I say, we joined the Renown.
So there was 2 months before it closed down.
Yeah.
Had you done any of the specialist training? I mean, I know you were only going to be—you were only a boy and or old receiver you were going in for. But I mean, had you done any signalling or any gunnery or any
You learn the 6-inch guns drill.
Tell us about that, because that's.
You learn 6-inch guns drill, and you learn to always give the instructions, shout it loud and clear. They used to say to you, because a ship's in action. It's banging, the guns are banging heavy. You've got to sing, shout loud and clear. We also done...
Now, hang on, what was 6-inch gun? Do you remember the actual procedure to load and fire a 6-inch gun?
Not much, because I specialised later on in pom-poms and Oerlikons and...
Okay, but what about...
And TSs, transmission stations.
What about... So, you I interrupted you. Carry on. What else did you learn from gunnery? Then? Are we not later?
We, as I say, we used to fall in and number. Guns crew number, you say, and you'd number. And you'd all have your... like, one of the... open the breech, you'd put the... and so on, and the ramrod and all that. And... guns crew ready and all this, you know.
That's what were you introduced to the pom-pom or the Oerlikon at that time? Or was it just a 6-inch gun?
Just a 6-inch. And we learnt a hand signal, you know. You learnt that as well as a boy.
Semaphore.
And you learn.
Was it semaphore?
Semaphore. And you learn Morse code as well. And you had to learn that because when you went through for leading seamen,
you How did you take? I mean, it seems very difficult to now to the idea of learning Morse code. How difficult was it for you?
It was difficult for me because it all seems a flash the same. You know what I mean? I got through it all right when I went through for leading seamen. There's no doubt about it.
When you first got it, you found difficulty.
I found difficulty in it because it all looked the same, the flash, you know. The way it flashed.
And what about Morse semaphore? That was with the flags,
with
it?
The flags, yeah. Yeah.
Still remember some of it. Did you find that easier than Morse?
That was easier than Morse, yeah.
Because you didn't have this problem of determining whether it's long or short.
Yeah.
Any other specialist training while you were there? I mean, you were seamen, so you wouldn't be having anything to do with the engines at all.
No,
I mean, that was the stokers, obviously.
That was stokers, yeah. No, no.
Any other specialist training you remember? Or any stories of things that happened, you know, before you left to go to the Renault? Funny stories or anything? So not really. Now, what about your postage to the Renault? You think that was about October, that's fair enough, 1939.
Yeah.
Where was the Renault when you joined her?
Joined up in Scapa.
What was the journey like up to Scapa?
Well, a long way in a train, a hell of a way. And we had vouchers to buy food on the way up, you know. And when we got there, we had to get the drifter across to the Renown. And it was scary, you know, when you joined her, really, looking back on it. And, but you soon, although it was strange and everything, you soon got into the routine.
What was the reception when you, this was the first ship you'd ever really joined, was it?
Yeah,
always. What happened when you arrived?
Well, our divisional officer met us the next day. Like when we met by the Master Charms and the RPOs, regulating petty officers, and they give us the routine and issued us with cards and everything for watch cards, you know, we had to give them when you were going ashore after ship, and explain everything to you, the routine of the ship, and the next day, the divisional officer.
What was your first impression of the ship? Because I mean,
it was a wonderful ship. Wonderful ship, and to see it with the seaplane on. And at the time, it had a seaplane on. It's a wonderful looking ship, there's no doubt about it. And you were really thrilled looking at it.
It's big, that's the main thing about it.
Yeah, it took you a while to get the hang of getting around the decks and that, you know.
Were you very proud of the ship? It was quite an old ship, wasn't it?
Yeah, but you were proud to be on her because she was so big and she looked marvellous. There's no doubt about it. She looked a streamlined ship, as I was to find out later on in life. Even the Americans said she was a wonderful looking ship. I learned that later on in life, often.
Now, Where was your mess deck? Were you in a boys' mess deck or were you a man by then? I'm not quite sure of your age.
No, in a boys' for a while.
And where was the boys? What was the boys' mess deck like? Where was it? What was it like?
It was on the same level deck as the seamen's mess. It was just like a big table with the two stools either side. Well,
what, flat bench stools?
Yeah, and the seamen's was next to us. We were all on the same big open deck, and across from us was the Master's Arms office. So he used to keep his eye on, you know, what was going on. And
how many of you were there in there?
20 or so. because the big messes were behind us, which I actually went in afterwards.
What could you see as you looked around the mess that you've got? You've told me about the table and the bench, but what else?
Well, you had where you slung your hammocks. You had the hooks to slung your hammocks and to pull yourself up on. Then there was the big fan shaft where all the fresh air came in. And it was a huge open, you had your portholes. And on the other side, you had the other messes, like torpedo men's messes, you know.
Were they openable portholes?
Oh, you could open them. Yeah, if the weather was good, then, you know, you could open them.
Now, what about the hammocks? Tell us about the hammock.
I used to love sleeping in the hammocks.
What was so good about it? How did you get used to it?
Well, I always found it was warm as well in them. The way I worked my hammock, you were taught to have your necklaces the same length. See? And I used to have my hammock, some people would have it low. Well, it'd be like a banana shape. I used to have mine straight up. And it was really right up towards the deck head. And I used to just pull myself up and get my feet in first and pull on. And I used to sleep. I was dead straight. And once you had your blankets over you, it was definitely warm. You know, she'd swing with the movement of the ship. But I always had a good night's sleep.
Did it take any getting used to?
I didn't. Right from the word go, I got on with it. And I used to like it.
Now, what was the hammock routine? You know.
Well, what happened used to be when the reveille would go over morning, I'd jump out right away, I was dead. But you'd get one or two staying in for the extra 10 minutes. Well, the duty petty officer used to come around. Well, in our case, the boys' instructor. And he always come around and made you get out. Well, the first thing is you've tied your hammock up. You had to put 7 inches on it. And I was done mine real tight. And if you'd had it properly tight and secured, and the ship was hit and sank, you could use a proper hammock for floating on. And that's what they used to tell you in the Navy. And I used to make sure, because even later on when I got a little pillar, you know, and I always made sure it was well secured.
So you tied it up with 7 inches, really tight. Now, where would you put it?
We had a hammock rack, and you used to have to put them all.
Was that in your mess deck?
In the mess deck. You used to all have to go and stow them. They'd be standing up, all standing up in there.
And yours would go in the same place all the time?
All the same time, yeah. And what I always done, if at any time I had to jump in the hammock rack itself, I'd always take my shoes off. Because there was other people's hammocks going in there, and perhaps some of them had fell down. But I noticed a lot of people, they wouldn't bother taking the shoes off, and you'd see shoe marks. But I always took mine off.
Yeah, so let's run through a typical day as a boy then, when you're in Scapa really, or on a cruiser. So, Revalia go, you're tied up and stowed your hammock. What next?
You'd go and have a wash and shave. Then you'd have breakfast.
Did you shave at the time?
No, not at first, but soon afterwards, about once a fortnight or so, you know.
And what were the washrooms like?
Well, I've got a story about that later on, about the renown, when it was an AB about it. The washrooms, they weren't big enough for all the seamen. So when you got down there, you'd be people waiting. This is how later on as an AB, I got that bucket to wash in, you see. But there's a story coming later on about where it was.
Just tell me what the washrooms looked like for now. So what would there be in there? What sort of washing facilities?
There'd be a lot of bowls just in a line and along the bulkhead and along that bulkhead. But as I say, They weren't big enough for the whole ship's company.
Would they have hot and cold water?
Oh, they had hot and cold water, yes.
And what about the heads? Were they attached in the same area, or the heads somewhere?
The heads were right forehead on there. Straight forehead.
And what were their heads like?
Used to walk in, straight forehead, and...
They were the only ones, were they, right forehead?
For us. And they were all in the line of seats, you know. All in the line. Yeah, right forehead, don't they wear down the renown? Used to go right forehead for them.
And what sort were they? They were just normal toilets?
Normal toilets, yeah.
So you went for a wash. We'll come to that story later. But what after you'd washed and shaved?
Have your breakfast.
And what was the food like afloat? I know food's not your thing, but was it okay?
Yeah, it was okay. What we got, you might have a sausage and a piece of bacon one morning. Or you'd have, I've never seen them since, herrings in tomato sauce. They used to call them herrings in. It was like a big oval. And that'd be, you get so many warm between so many. But I didn't like them, but a lot of them used to eat them. You know, I never ate them.
That would be breakfast. What about tea? A mug of tea or something.
Yeah, you had a mug of tea. And bread, you had a big loaf like that, and they'd cut a slice each off. That was made on the ship by the ship's baker.
I was going to ask which messing system you were using. Was it canteen messing, or was it general messing?
General messing, yeah. So you'd have a cook at a mess, he'd go and draw it from the galley. Bring it down.
But the cook of the mess wouldn't prepare it like in canteen messing.
No. And he'd dish up when he'd all finished, you know, wash the knives and forks and the plates and that.
So after breakfast?
You turn through then. Well, with it being wartime, you went on watches, you know, red. Within three watches, red, white and blue.
Explain the watch system then. How did the watch system work?
Well, you used to, before on an eight off, you see. Well, if you were at the forenoon watch, that was 8 till 12, you might be in a turret. We had, apart from the 15-inch turrets, we had the 4.5s, you see. So you'd go in, if you were on watch, forenoon watch, you'd go in a turret or whatever your action station was, or your cruising station. You'd go there for 4 hours, say. Now, the remainder of the ship's company who weren't on watch, they would turn to and get a job working part of ship, as they call it, cleaning or whatever it was, you know. Might be cleaning paintwork or... You know, you might get put with a bosun's party splicing wire or ropes or something, you know.
Tell me about the cleaning ship. I mean, how fussy were they about cleaning ship in wartime?
Well, what used to happen, they'd wash down of a morning, they'd definitely hose down if you were working part of ship. My part of ship was quarter deck. I used to, back aft, we'd be hosing it down and brushing it and everything. But there was
polystone or just brushing it?
Brushing it. We didn't use the other stone so much on the renown, so perhaps once a month or so. It was more or less just washing it down and hosing it away and everything.
You weren't scrubbing it then?
No. Hose it down and with your brooms, wiping the deck with your brooms, you know.
What else might you be doing if you're on the quarter deck, you know?
You might be washing the bulkheads, keeping it clean.
Polishing anything, or was that...
Oh, you might do... There might be brasswork there. You get your blue belt out so clean, you know. Whichever the petty officer at the top... They used to call him the captain at the top, you see. He used to tell you what to do. And depending on what party you were in, sometimes you'd have a leading hand over you, you know. But the captain at the top, the PO in charge, he used to tell everybody what they'd do. And as I say, it was different things. Now,
so you'd be on for, say, one watch. Now, you mentioned the if you're on your watch,
yeah,
then you perhaps what was your watch station? Were you in a 4.5 turret? What was your action station, if you like?
The boys were most of them were pulling a 4.5 turret.
And were you?
No, I was pulling the pom pom.